Hi, and welcome to Online with USU. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jessica.
And today we've got Julie Gast with us, who is one of our program directors. Julie, tell us what the name of your program is, because it isn't a normal situation.
Okay. It is called the Health Education and Promotion Masters of Public Health, and we often call it the HEP-MPH for short.
Excellent. We are very excited to have you on today, because we are going to be highlighting several programs this semester that we offer 100% online. But why don't you start off by telling us some of the highlights of the program and the department? Kind of maybe a bit of history or something like that?
Okay. So we started this program, the first semester was fall 2016, and we were very intentional that we wanted it to be an online MPH program, because there wasn't an online MPH program in the state of Utah at that time. And as the land-grant mission, you know, of Utah State, we felt it was really important to get this degree out there to anybody who wanted it. And the MPH is a highly desirable, marketable, workforce-ready degree, so we really needed it in our rural communities to stay-at-home moms, to, you know, all those kind of people that couldn't come to campus. And so that was kind of the history of the program and why we decided to make it online.
Excellent, excellent. We really appreciate having it online. We're always excited when new programs are specifically wanting to be online. What are some of the types of opportunities, either post-graduation or job opportunities, that someone would use this for?
Oh, man, it's been great to see our graduates go into careers right even before they graduate. They have opportunities. And these can be an epidemiologist at the state health department. It can be a program director at a local health department. We have people who are doing quality control at hospitals. We have people doing worksite wellness and running programs for worksites. You know, there is just so many opportunities for this degree.
So we're talking public, private, and government.
Yeah.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent.
Yep. And nonprofits as well.
A lot of students ask, when it comes to online degrees, what's the accreditation like? So what, you know, what's the stamp of approval on this?
Oh, that's a great question, Dan. The HEP-MPH is currently going through accreditation. Our accreditation body is CEPH. It's the only body that accredits MPH programs. And so that is an important thing to look into. And we have just submitted, thankfully, our draft self-study. And if all goes well, we anticipate next summer our program being accredited. But what does that mean to our students right now? It means that once we get accredited, they will be grandfathered into an accredited program.
Excellent.
Yes, so it's no real risk right now to go to our program because they will be grandfathered into this as soon as we achieve it.
Wonderful. And of course, they've got the standard USU accreditation, the stamp of approval that USU has in every reputation and circle.
Exactly. Like, we wouldn't be able to pursue our accreditation if USU wasn't an accredited institution of higher education.
Yeah. So the program is legit, I believe, is the term.
Yeah, we have worked so hard. It's been a hard process, but a really good process to make sure that our students learn what we say they're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. For anybody that doesn't understand accreditation, imagine being audited before you even start.
Right.
It's a very fun process.
Well, it'll be really fun when it's done.
Yes, yes.
I bet it's even funner when it's done.
Yeah.
What things do they look at when you go through the accreditation process?
Well,
like, what are they evaluating?
So many things, but what probably your listeners are interested in is our learning outcomes. And so we have 27 competencies that this program is based on. And so each class is tied with at least one competency. Our students will create an e-portfolio to guarantee that they are mastering those competencies. And when they walk out the door, they have those. They can share with people. They can show people, look, I went to this program, I learned this stuff, and these are the artifacts that I've created by being in this program.
They've got more than just the diploma.
Exactly.
Wonderful. I mean, that's a big thing, because a lot of jobs nowadays are looking for experience, and these are types of experience that they can share.
Exactly. Our program, because of the accreditation process, has to rely on authentic learning experiences. We don't want busy work. These are the kind of things that you're going to be doing out there in the workforce. So that's what you do in your classes.
Awesome. How flexible is this program in terms of how many, is there a strict schedule to it? Do they have to take so many classes every semester? How does it work with people's schedules?
That's a good question. We are not a cohort-based program. We call it a carousel. And so people can kind of hop on and hop off as they need to. So not everybody has to start at the same time and graduate at the same time. We have students that go full-time, and in that scenario, it's about a two-year program. And then we have lots of working professionals who that's not going to work for them. And so they take a lighter load of classes, and they might get done in 3 or more years. So we're flexible to what the student needs. That's why we're here.
That's marvelous. I've completed my master's program in 5 years. Yep. I mean, there was a couple semesters I didn't attend. Other semesters took two classes. Others took one. So that's marvelous to hear that it's such a flexible program
right.
in that regard.
Yeah. So. It's also flexible in the way that we do require a practicum or an internship.
Okay.
But people can also use their work experience in some situations to complete that.
So if they're already working in that field or working in connection with that field, then that gives
right.
them an advantage there.
Exactly.
When you were talking about accreditation, you mentioned it. A portfolio,
mm-hmm.
I imagine their internships or any other practicum experience would be part of that, correct?
It is, yes. They have to, and I love our internship for this degree because it's not hours-based, because we all know you can do a lot of hours and learn nothing, but again, it's competency-based, and so it's the products you produce during your internship that's what you get graded on, and not the hours that you're at an agency, for example.
Okay. What are some of the places that your students have been interning?
The Utah Department of Health has been one. USU Extension, actually, our health and wellness programs have been another. We've had hospital settings, again, nonprofit settings, worksite settings. There's just been a wide variety. We try to match students to something that they're interested in. So we don't really place students. We just help them find places that are going to meet their needs.
That's marvelous. What is required to get into this program?
Well, the application process is, we follow what the grad school wants you to do, and so you'll go online and you'll submit all your materials through the grad school, and we ask for 3 letters of recommendation, we ask for a resume, we ask for your transcripts, and your GPA has to be a 3.0 or above for your last 60 semester credits.
So not overall, but just for those last 60
right.
credits. Okay.
And the grad school figures that out.
Yeah.
You don't have to figure that out. and then we don't require the GRE or any other entrance exam anymore. But what we do is ask for several essays, and that lets us get to know you better
okay.
and if you're a good fit for the program. But I can always meet with students and help them through that process if they have any questions.
Marvelous.
I wish all grad programs would just get rid of the GRE, the GMAT.
Yeah.
Just do essays. I would so much rather do like a couple essays than a
right.
3-hour test.
Right. Exams. And that's
yeah.
been my experience, that we've had some really good students that have struggled with those. So it wasn't really a good indicator for success in our program, at least.
I have seen graduate programs use the GRE to counterset a bad GPA and vice
mm-hmm.
versa, you know. So I have seen that. So that makes sense. It's a tool there. But we have been seeing many, many, many more that just say, you know what,
right.
let's not worry about
right.
this.
And students, if they do take the GRE or the MAT or something like that and they want to submit it, then that's something that we'll look at for sure.
What bachelor's degrees or undergraduate degrees or training is recommended for the health education promotion track of the NPH?
You know, in our case, we do not require any specific undergraduate degree. We just feel it's kind of up to the student to get up to speed, and we've had students from all sorts of backgrounds do really well in this program. So that's not something that we require. Well, I will make a suggestion that it's good to have a stats class, because we do have a biostats class, and that might be the one area that you'd want to have a little background. But people can approach that many ways. They can take a free Coursera course, you know, they can get into Khan Academy. They don't have to necessarily have that on their transcript, but it is something they might want to be aware of.
Yeah. And of course, have you had any students register for like a Stats 1040 class
mm-hmm.
either while they're doing their master's courses?
Yeah,
well,
we
so.
Have. And even
yeah.
just recently a student did it like the summer before they applied.
Okay.
They just want to kind of hit the ground running. So if they're still in their undergrad program, that would be a good idea.
I mean, and we could theoretically get them in as a non-degree-seeking student to take that class prior to starting the grad
exactly.
program as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, what kind of support does the department offer for students in terms of academic or, you've already talked a little bit about not necessarily placement, but helping them find a good spot. But what sort of academic things or academic assistance is available through the department?
Well, there's a couple ways I can go with that, Dan. One is that once you're in the program, you have a faculty advisor. And so they are kind of your gatekeeper of the program. They'll help you schedule classes. You're not, like, I think people think online, they think they're just out there floating by themselves.
That is a common perception. I hear that a lot.
And that is something we really don't want our culture of our program to be.
Mm-hmm.
So having a faculty member be your advisor is really important to us. And so they meet with you on a regular basis and help you steer and navigate the program. So that's one way. If you're a Logan-based student, we also offer assistantships, and that's where you actually work for the department, and you might be a research assistant or a lab assistant or actually a teaching assistant teaching classes for us, And so that's one way students can offset the costs of the program. Even though it's a very, very, very affordable program, if you look around for online MPH degrees, they are super expensive. And I don't know why USU is such a good deal, but we really are.
For listeners out there, tuition in Utah State is simple. If you are inside of Utah, it's the same cost for all types of programs, although student fees are less if you are not on the Logan campus, of course. And for students outside of Utah, we do have a special online rate that is very comparable to the in-state resident rate. So that's one reason we're able to keep our costs down, which is really nice.
I so appreciate that USU does that. We have, last time we counted, I think we had 7 students from states outside of Utah, and we just had our first international student start this fall.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
I love talking to the international students because they're like, how much for an international student to do online? I'm like, well, it's the same as a domestic student as long as you're not in Utah. No matter how far outside of Utah you are, it's the same cost. So, which does provide flexibility if a student needs to relocate or if they're doing an internship somewhere else in another country, perhaps, in a developing country. They have that opportunity without it being a detriment tuition-wise.
Yeah, it's great because we've had students that have started in Utah and then had to move away. And financially, it's not, you know, it's not a deal breaker for them.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the assistantships. There aren't any other scholarships through the department that are available. Is that correct?
There are some departmental or college scholarships, but they're not specific to this program.
Okay.
But you could get into the scholarship page at USU, the website, and check those out.
And there's some others through the office for the inclusion office and some other places there. But yes, scholarships.usu.edu is the best way, I believe, to get there.
So your program has something that not many online graduate programs have, and that is a study abroad opportunity every couple of years. That's not every year, correct?
That's right.
So what, I know it varies like between each trip, but what do they try to do?
This, please.
You did not know this?
I didn't.
Yeah, they have study abroad opportunities.
Yeah, well, and that is one of our professors, Dr. Steve Hawks. He's the one that leads that in the summer.
I love Steve. I used to work with him.
Isn't
in Christ.
He wonderful?
Oh, he's marvelous.
Don't let it go to your head, Steve, if you're listening to this. And yeah,
he
so he's the one, and it turns out to be the student's internship experience.
Okay.
And we do have 2 global health courses, so he has a passion for that topic, and so I'm glad we have those courses. But in addition, we have this study abroad. And what they've been doing is going to Thailand. And so this summer, if all goes well, then they will be going back to Thailand. He was trying to work out something to go to Japan, but with lockdown and everything, it just didn't work out.
I know that he studied health in Japan and in France, and if I remember correctly, he even presented at Oxford. He presented findings at Oxford.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the regional director while I was worked in Price, and he actually gave an abridged version of that presentation there, and it was fascinating.
Yeah. He's wonderful. He's a great teacher.
I
have to give a plug for all of our faculty because they're so student friendly. Again, I don't want this myth of the online absent professor, because we are not that. We work with students, we respond to students, we meet with students, even though it's an online program, we meet through Zoom, we help them, so we're all very student-centered, but he's a great example of that as well.
He's the one that taught me to keep a tie on the back of my door. So if ever really? I needed to, because he would come into work, he worked at a Moab, and so he did a lot of meetings over broadcast, over Zoom, and he would wear board shorts and then have a tie on his back door and a suit coat. And so if he needed to, he'd put the suit coat on and put the tie on for his meetings with the bright vice president or whoever.
I
and then he'd
it.
Take it off and,
like a sportscaster or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, exactly. He was so much fun.
I did not know that. I've never met him in person, so I wouldn't know that.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
I love Steve Dooley. He is near and dear to my heart.
Well, and those study abroads, those are just life-changing events for students. You know, nobody ever comes back to one and goes, wish I hadn't done that, And he's a lot of fun, too. So.
Now, this does bring up an important point. We mentioned Zoom, but does a student have to log in a specific time for these classes, or are they the traditional online asynchronous?
They're asynchronistic. So you don't have to be at a live lecture at 7 p.m. We don't do that. Maybe once a semester, a professor might choose to get everybody together, but that would not be typical.
Yeah. And they would coordinate that with the students,
exactly.
And that would be worked out as an ad hoc basis.
Right. But, like, in my class, I never do that, But I do meet with the students, certainly as requested to meet with their groups and get them on their projects, on the right direction, and those sort of things. And we're happy to do that.
Excellent. What classes is it that you teach specifically?
I teach the qualitative methods course.
Okay.
Yeah. So the reputation on that one is it's one of the hardest ones. in the program. Some think it's harder than the biostats class.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, and to be clear, the qualitative, that'd be the non-numerical, the subjective judgments of various
well,
researchers.
Well, Dan, I wouldn't say that.
Okay. I just had the introduction to research class in my class. I wanted the research methods class, but no, they gave me that this is how other people do research
class.
And I was bummed.
Yeah. There's processes in place to make it not subjective. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I meant in terms of when compared against quantitative research, of course.
Right, and in my class, it's, again, another example of authentic learning. You don't just read about qualitative research. You actually go out, you do a project, you work with a community-based organization to answer a question that they have. So that's why it's a little stressful for the students, because the stakes are high. You're actually doing what you're learning, and you know how that goes. That's always
stressful.
Pretty stressful.
I guess, do you have any advice for someone considering the program?
Well, we're still a new program, but I guess we're not that new anymore. So we're a bit of a victim of our own success in that we get a lot of applications now, which is great, but we don't want to be a big program. So my biggest advice was, if you're interested in it, meet with me. Let's talk about it. See if it's a good fit. And then there's some early application deadlines now. We used to not have those.
Yes, what are those?
For fall semester, it's April 15th.
Okay.
And then the drop dead, you can't apply after this date for fall, is July 1st.
Okay.
So they're still pretty late. And that's July 1st of starting in August.
Yeah.
So some people think that's a year from, and it's not. It's
so
that
so
same
if it
year.
Was fall 2022,
right.
Then July 1st of 2022 would be the last deadline, and the priority would be April 15th, 2022.
And so the way it is that it depends on how many spots we have open, depending on how many students have graduated, because we're about at the size we want to be. Does that make sense?
So there is some competitive nature in this.
A little bit, yeah. And so I don't want to scare students off by that, but I just, if they could apply by the April 15th for fall, that would be awesome. Now, we do allow students to start in the spring, and that is somewhat popular as well. And so that deadline is October 1st January start date.
Okay. And is that the October 1st is the dead last?
Yes, we only have one, because we do get fewer students apply for spring. Yeah.
All right. So April 15th priority. July 1st, dead last for fall, and then October 1st, dead last for spring.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and the sooner they apply, the more eager they are in showing interest, the more likely they are to be able to get in.
I think so. I think that's the benefit of meeting with me, and not to, like, schmooze me or anything, but just to see if it's a good fit, give you advice. I give people advice about, you know, how to do a good job applying. And so that's, you know, that is nice. You can apply without reaching out to me, but it's always a good idea.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you have any questions out there, go ahead and reach out to us. We are on all the social media things. You can also email us. What's your email address, Julie, for anybody that has questions?
It's julie.gast, G-A-S-T, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, @usu.edu.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you all online.